We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So for the last 4 weeks, including this week, we have been finishing up on the theme that we've had for the year, which is making room for God. And even as I was preparing for today's message, I'm not going to lie to you, I found it particularly challenging because this particular theme, or my title for today, is making room for mission, right? And the reason why I found it so challenging was I was doing some self-reflection, and thinking to myself, how much have I been engaged within this idea of making room for mission? Making room for mission. And as God being God, he likes to, you know, make sure that when he's speaking to you, he speaks to you very loudly. And my cousin called me about a week or so ago, and he was like, "Oh yeah, Phil, I was out in the street evangelizing." And I'm like, "God, you know, I know I need to preach this word, but you know, now you're even attacking me again to say, oh Phil, there's something that you haven't been engaging in, has it?" And I mean, to clarify, mission, the idea of mission is the idea of propagating the gospel, propagating the good news. And you know, I felt God challenging me even as I was preparing this to say, you know, God, Phil, how much have you been engaging in sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who do not yet know him? How much have you been actively going for it and sharing this good news that Jesus has brought from the finished work on Calvary? And hence what this message is all about today. My theme scripture is still in the same scripture that we've been using all year, which is Isaiah chapter 54. And I'm just going to read from verse 2 and from the Amplified. It says, enlarge the sight of your tent to make room for more children. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare them. Lengthen your tent ropes and make your peg stakes firm in the ground. My particular specific portion is enlarge the sight of your tent. Now, the Amplified Version really delves a bit deeper to show that the reason why we go through the effort of enlarging the tent is specifically to be able to make more room, to increase the capacity to be able to host people, to be able to host the people of God within the kingdom of God. So God was speaking to Israel to say, actually, it is time for expansion, it's time for growth, it is time for us to be able to reach much further and to grow abundantly more than we currently have. And as I say, the reason why I was so challenged with this message is because as I was reflecting, I was seeing how important and how significant mission is to Jesus. How significant mission is to God. Ultimately, the reason why Jesus came to earth was actually not for our personal comfort. It wasn't to get us out of a specific situation. The reason why Jesus came from earth, from heaven onto earth, was a matter of eternity. If you think of all the different times that Israel faced trials, God intervened from his throne room. With the Hebrew boys, he met them in the fire there, but he stayed in heaven. Right? When it came to the Red Sea, God parted the sea, but he was still in heaven. But then when it came to the matter of eternity, God descended from heaven and took off all glory so that then he was able to be able to give us access to eternity with God. Ultimately, if it's significant enough for God to come down from heaven and be incarnate as a baby and raised up to fullness, to be able to die on a cross, then surely it must be important to us to be able to share this message to say, you know what, this is the good news that we now have access to God. We have been brought back into relationship with Jesus Christ. So I've got a small illustration I just want to show in terms of just showing you the significance of what Jesus wants when it comes to us purposing mission. I first saw a similar illustration of this from a preacher called Francis Chan not long after I was saved. And so what I've got here, I've got this rather long rope, right? And I want you to imagine that this rope just goes on forever and ever and ever, right? And what I'm holding here is a timeline of our lives. A timeline of our lives. Now, what it is, this little portion here, which I've painted white, signifies our time here on earth. Okay? So right at the starting point right here is the point at which you're born. Somewhere along here, you then learn to speak. And I'm hoping Zoe quickly so that she can tell me what she wants and not just cry, you know? And at some point, you know, you go through your education. At some point, you know, you get a job. And whatever your life has been like, fill in your kind of space right here to say, okay, this is my life, right? But then when we speak of eternity, what we're basically saying is, out of this little bit, there is still all of this, all of this, all of this, all of this to go, right? And the significance of mission is that our eternity is dependent upon, at some point during this space, whether it is close to the start or close to the end, that somebody came to a decision to follow Jesus Christ and to accept him as his Lord and Savior. For me, I was trying to think, God, show me what eternity is. Show me what eternity is about. And truth be told, I have heard many versions of what our afterlife will be like, of many versions of what heaven or new earth will be like. And truth be told, we are incapable of fathoming just how awesome and how great it is. We are incapable of actually telling you how great this eternity is, but God found it fitting that he would come down from heaven to ensure that after this point, after the point when we pass on, that we would spend eternity in her place where he finds us befitting. Amen. Amen. Now, the truth of the matter is, eternal life in the presence of God, eternal life in God is the goal. It's where we want to get to. But then there is also the unfortunate result of what happens when somebody doesn't come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is before the end of their life. Eternity still exists. Eternity still exists, but it is in a place of anguish. It's in a place of horror, in a way in which, again, it's not possible for us to be able to fathom because it's just that great. I mean, I've got some contrasts here from Scripture. When we come to defining what heaven is like. John in the book of Revelation, he says, I saw in Revelation 21, he says, I saw 12 gates and were 12 pearls, each gate made of single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold and as pure transparent glass. To me, it's almost like to say, God is saying, you know what, the riches that we see here on earth are just mere streets that we see in heaven. It's so invaluable. But on the flip side as well, when we look of the anguish of eternity outside of God, reading from Luke 16:24, there's a parable that Jesus gives about a man who was poor and a rich man, and this particular man had ended up going to hell, and he says, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in the fire. I can't start to imagine what level of agony somebody must be through to think that even the tip of water on their tongue would bring them some level of relief. If this is what Jesus wants us to do, then it's significant that actually, as a people of God, we engage in this thing, in mission, to ensure that at some point, when we have spoken to those that God is calling us to speak to, that they will come to a decision to be able to follow Jesus Christ within their lifetime. Amen. To bring this to life, anyway, I'm going to read from John chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Very common piece of scripture. And it says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever who believes in him is not condemned, But whoever who does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So to me, even before I get through this preaching, as I say, I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to everyone else. I feel the attack of the Holy Spirit on my life. And what I want to go through today is to say, okay, from this theme of making room, what is God asking us to do in this season in regards to be able to make room for him, to make room for the people of God? Amen. Ultimately, we often read Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, and what we get from that is that God has purposed for us to be his vehicle to propagate the good news of this eternal life, which is afforded to us by Jesus Christ. And so going into some of the learning, some of the things I've drawn out from this idea of enlarging our template. So my first point is this, if you want to write it down. It's mission is intentional. Mission is intentional. So God, within this verse, he tells the people of Israel and tells us today that we should enlarge the place of our tent. Now, I don't know about you, whether you've been camping before, but, if somebody has to enlarge the place of their tent, it means that you have to actively engage in this idea of saying, okay, my tent is this size, but I need it to grow further to be able to go beyond the current boundaries in which it's covering. So there is a level of agreement that has to be done to say, okay, yes, God has asked that we should be missional, but then there's also the part of us actually agreeing and accepting the call to say, I will do this thing. Let me tell you what the issue is. And I'm like this. You know, I come to church, and I know exactly who I'm going to see in church, and I enjoy it. I like it. I like it a lot. You know, I like the folks here. You're good folks, you know. And I know exactly where I'm going to sit. As a matter of fact, my seat is vacant right now. Because people know that's where Phil sits, right? It's very comfortable in the tent, the size that it is, because you know exactly how it's going to flow. You know who's going to be there. Now, when it comes to the point in which being intentional about bringing other people in is that it rocks the boat, it breaks the status quo, it changes the comfort that we already have. And the comfort that I have to say, well, I know the type of people I'm going to face. I know that they're going to agree with me in what I believe. They're going to agree with me in what I enjoy. All of a sudden, now when you pull someone from the street and they enjoy things that I don't enjoy, and they're still in the world, and you know, their language is vulgar, and the way that they dress, I don't agree with it. And then all of a sudden, we find that our intentionality of reaching out is broken up because you are not in agreement at that point in what they currently are. But what God, it's crazy how sometimes we can withhold the transformational work that Christ has done in us to others, even though you know that it is of full benefit to you. I mean, yes, I started by talking about eternity, that yes, the greater goal is that we will have eternal life. But nonetheless, If you're like me and Jesus has been so faithful to you, just as the way that we were singing earlier on today, our lives are just so much better being in God. And you know, I see all the anguish that people go through in this life, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh, if only you knew what Jesus has to bring and the life transformational power that he brings to be able to give us the kind of life which we will enjoy here on earth and then even further enjoy in eternity in the presence of God. And who are we then to be able to hold that back to say, well, I don't think that one is deserving. I've heard of racial profiling, but I think what we suffer from time to time is Christian profiling. You know, we at times decide for our own church to say, well, actually, these are the kind of people that we want here, but not the kind of people who don't come from where I'm from, who don't have the same kind of job that I have. And you know, I just feel that the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what, would you just listen to him? Amen. Listen to him in terms of who he is calling. Jesus says that no one comes to him unless the Father has drawn them. See, it is not to us to decide who the Father is drawing. The Father draws, and he just uses us as vessels to be able to bring them to Jesus Christ. Amen. So you know, the crazy thing about this is I love preaching this thing, but it's so difficult. It's so difficult. And the intentionality, I remember there was once a time, we had a meeting here. I think we were talking about mission. Mama Moyo was leading that session. I remember I was somewhere around here. And, God, I can't remember how many years ago it was. But in actual fact, I remember she gave a great teaching on mission. It was fantastic. I enjoyed it. It was like, this is exactly what the church needs to hear because, you know, this is what we need. And then near the end, in true Amoyo fashion, we nearly ran out of time, you know. But there was 10 minutes left. And within those 10 minutes, she was like, right, okay, you've heard it, go. And I was like, what? Excuse me? And she actually asked us, you know what? Go into the street and go speak to someone about Jesus. And to my amazement, it was, I think every single person in that room that day went and actually found someone, and we said something about Jesus to them. I mean, they may not have accepted Christ, but for me, it was incredible just how that morning I probably woke up again many times like how I normally do, not planning to do any missional work, but just by being intentional and saying, you know what, today I'm going to talk to someone about Jesus. We went out and we did it, and it was amazing that we then came back in the room with testimony to say, this is the conversation that I had. This is what happened. You know? It's work. Ultimately, it is work. I like the prayer warriors that we have in the church. You know, we pray strong prayers. You're like, God, use me. God, would you use me? Right? And then a week later, you come back to the prayer, but like, God, I feel used. You know, these people keep trying to use me. And then in the same way, for those ones who are a level above, they'll be like, God, make me a bridge. Make me a bridge unto people. And then the next thing you hear, God, these people keep walking all over me. Are you not a bridge? Is God not using you? But it's incredible because it is such hard work to do the missional work of God, but it is what God has asked us to do. Amen. And the reality is, as I say, when we're out there in the street, the truth is, and my next point is that mission likely won't be what you have in mind, okay? Mission won't likely be what you have in mind. So coming back to the verse I was reading from Isaiah, if our tent was ending here, and I'm looking at this land across here, normally what is required then is, you know, you need to do some clearing of the ground. There could be, you know, you can probably see a tree, say, okay, we probably need to do something about that tree. You can see some grass and you go, okay, maybe there's some grass that we need to move out the way and the likes. But then often what happens, I don't know if you've done any gardening or anything of the sort, you often find other things there which you didn't see, maybe because the weeds were so tall or the tree was in the way or the likes. So often I think our missional work is like that. I mean, if I was to say to myself, oh, I'm going to walk out of this room right now and speak to someone, what I'll probably be thinking is, oh, I'm going to go to them, I'm going to tell them the good news about Jesus Christ, and they're going to accept the Lord and Savior. And amen, I'm going to come back and tell you all, it was all dandy. But the reality is, it often isn't like that. And sometimes I think the discouragement we feel is that the fear of the unknown, to say, God, you know what? Yes, you're asking me to enlarge my tent, but I can't quite see the things which will be in my way. I can't quite see the things that will need to be moved. So all of a sudden, we try to come back into our safe place where we just end up just doing nothing. We just end up going, you know what? We're happy. This church is large enough as it is. We're not going to follow the command to expand. But you know what? God taught me something. When I was still back in uni, I had a job at a call center. That was a hard job, right? It was outbound calls for selling gas and electric for Scottish Power, right? And what would happen, I think the phone would ring about 600 times, okay? 80% of the calls, people wouldn't pick up. Of the few that did pick up, you would try to engage in conversation, and probably after about four words, they can tell that it's a sales call and put the phone down, right? And no matter what I was doing, I would try all sorts, and you know, you think, oh, it's Scottish Power, maybe I should put a Scottish accent on or something, you know? Or you know, or you try to change the approach, say, oh, maybe I should say I've got a better deal, or maybe I say to them, I should save money, or you know, all these different approaches, and it just feels as though you just keep hitting brick wall after brick wall. But nonetheless, the phone would keep ringing. The phone would keep ringing. The phone would keep ringing. And I feel as though that's what the Lord wants our approach to mission to be like. It shouldn't be the desire to succeed and to meet your expectation, because really it's pride in us to be able to say, oh, my expectation is that I will be able to get someone saved. But really, we should just keep the phone ringing. Amen. Say, you know what, there's someone else I've met, I want to share the word with them. So, I mean, the crazy thing about gas and electric, do you know, regardless of who your supplier is for gas and electric, it's still the same gas and electric that still comes through, right? Whether it's Scottish Power, N Power, E.ON, whoever it may be, it's still the same gas. The only difference is that you pay for different rates because of who your deal is with at that current point in time. And I think that's what used to get me when I was making these phone calls. I'm thinking, and it's very much like the gospel. You know, when we've got the gospel, we're like, I know how good this is for you. If only you knew, and if only you would just accept it, right? Same thing with gas electric. It was a case of you're paying more for the same product, if only you would just listen to me so that then you can just get a better deal so you can save money. I'm trying, you know. So and again, I think God is actually saying to me, you know what, constantly keep bringing, because eventually, and it always happened that eventually, it may be one person, eventually somebody would say, you know what, Phil, I'll sign up. I'll do it. You know, and likewise for us, after trying so many times, you will find that eventually we'll meet those who will be able to hear our call to say, you know what? Yes, I will accept the gospel. I will accept Jesus Christ. And the Lord rejoice. Will heaven rejoice and will sponsor parties in heaven. Amen. Amen. And for me, it's, as I say, we can be quite selective at times. And I hope we take from this also is to say, you know what? It's not about our own selection process. It is a process of just simply us accepting the call to say we must be able to reach out and to share the word of God because it is salvation unto mankind. Amen. Okay. And my third point is this. Mission requires faith in God's provision. Mission requires faith in God's provision. Now, as much as this can feel quite heavy to say, you know what, we've got this responsibility to share the gospel, this responsibility to be missional people and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is that this mission is actually God's. We are simply workers in the field. We are workers sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So ultimately, the one who is then going to provide for this mission is the owner of the mission, who is Jesus Christ himself. It wasn't the idea of the church that mission is a good idea. It was instituted by Jesus himself that we should be a missional people and to share this gospel. It is the mission that Jesus has given to us, shared from us. And ultimately, it should be our pleasure to be able to share with God's people the gospel that Jesus has given us. So when we talk about enlarging the place of our tent, there's, you know, when we are in our life tracks, there's my favorite chapter in there is when we're talking about the missional, the spheres of influence, the areas in which, again, God wants us to be infiltrating is not actually just to fill in the church, to be able to propagate the church. It's in the area of family, in the area of charity and religion, in the area of education, in the area of media, in the area of entertainment, in the area of business, and almost prophetically, as we were praying, as Pastor was saying, in the area of government as well. It's crazy to think, okay, yes, we want to see the biblical standard of life to be within governance, but then how will it be there if us as the missional people are not present within government? How will it be then? So I believe that God is calling us out of the church to say, yes, as you have been filled in the church, as you have been filled, that he will give us divine strategies to be able to work within these various different fields, to be able to bring about the kingdom of God within those particular spheres. Amen. Where you are placed today is where God wants you to be, and that is where we should actually be starting with our missions work. The change that we are looking for, the invitation of the kingdom of God into our systems starts with us being able to be used within God, within our spheres. And to me, it's incredible, you know, to be able to exemplify this. Do you know you have never seen a Rolex advert on TV? You see, in the same way that Rolex understands that the people that we cater to don't watch daytime TV, right? Yeah. But you will find, if you go to a Formula One track, all of a sudden there's Rolex everywhere in banners. Because they know those high rollers, those people with like, their particular mission field. See, Rolex's mission field are people who are looking to spend money in a very weird way, which I don't agree with. You know, but and in the same way, I believe that this is the season whereby God will be doing the exact same thing with us. That he will give us insight to say, actually, yes, this works for within the church, right? But then when we come to meeting the media field, when it comes to meeting governance, this is how you are to go. And you'll be able to give us those divine strategies. And I find it incredible. You know, I was watching this documentary on YouTube. It was in Ethiopia. And it's a Christian, they have a Christian festival year on year, right? And what amazed me about that festival was like, oh my goodness, it's the most glorious thing. You see multitudes of people on the streets praising God. And I see that how God, I know that in the UK, that kind of thing won't work. But then likewise, what then instituting in various different countries, he'll also do for us here in Sheffield. That he will ask you to understand, you know what works in Sheffield is X. And all we need to be able to participate in that is actually say, God, would you provide the means that we are able then to be able to meet this missions field? So, if we're talking about a tent, right? So ultimately, we're talking about enlarging the space of a tent. Again, as I said, I've never been camping, but I'm sure a 5-person tent is different to a 50-person tent. Likewise, is it different to a 500-person tent? Likewise, is it different to a 5,000-person tent? I believe that in this season, or at least even as we make room for God in the area of mission, that God will start sending across the skill sets and the people that we require to be able to expand beyond measure. Yes, it may take one person to set up a tent of one person, but it probably will take multitudes of people to set up a tent of 50,000 people. Right? And that can only happen if we are actively engaged in bringing about the kingdom and sharing the gospel so that then others can join in the mission and we'll see this exponential growth in people coming into the kingdom of God. So this is my last point, and I'm going to finish off with this. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. And he says this, "But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now, he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we're a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we're a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate to do such a task as this?" Amen. And my prayer is this: life-giving perfume. If you're like me this morning, how much has that life-giving perfume been radiated off you? How much has that life-giving perfume been coming off you and sharing of this gospel which brings about life to many who have not received it? I believe under the sound of my voice today that I'm talking to the majority of us who have probably been in the Lord for many a years. I think coming in next year, I would have been a decade, you know, being in the Lord. And I thank God for that. And I'm convicted this morning to say, you know what, God, would you rid me of the selfishness of thinking that you wanted it to stop with me? That would you rid me of the selfishness of thinking that it ends with me, or that person who afforded the gospel to me didn't then intend for me to be able to share it on with someone else? The Lord God Almighty has eternity in mind for you and I. Yes, this life that we are living, we will enjoy it, and we are there to enjoy God's creation. It's such a beautiful thing. But we are also to share in the splendor and the glory of the life to come when we are giving eternal life, when we meet Jesus face to face. I look forward to the day when I meet Christ and I tell him, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for taking me from where I was from. You know, I look forward to the day when I tell him, you know, thank you for transforming me and changing me beyond what I can imagine. And I pray that, again, for anyone under the sound of my voice that who has not received Jesus Christ, that he is here today, that he is able to save, he still saves each and every day, that his love is still abounding, that he is still faithful, that he continues to knock at the door of our hearts, just as like I was on that phone call, he continues to knock each and every single day. And God, how I pray that this morning, God, that we will subscribe ourselves again, God, Father, to being a missional people. God, to be a people who care about what you care about. God, you came down from heaven unto the earth to save a sinner like me. God, you have found it befitting, oh God, that you would use us 2,000 years later to share of the finished work of Calvary. Lord, I thank you, Almighty God, that your hand is still mighty to save, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray, Almighty God, would you make us the sweet perfume, God, that Father, that you speak of, which is able to be able to share the gospel. Lord, even as Paul writes, how would they know unless we tell them? How would they know? And God, I pray, Almighty God, that, Lord, we will be a transformed people, people on fire, to be able to take every opportunity, God, Father, to be able to share your word and to be able to tell of your goodness. Lord, that of which that we hold, God. Lord, may we share it unreservedly. Lord, may we take away the selfishness, God, Father, of just waiting out our days up until the day comes when we die and we meet you. Lord, may we use this time as you have intended for us to do, God. Yes. Father, to be able to share the gospel, Father, to engage in the mission. Lord, many are perishing. Many have perished, God, Father, without meeting you. And God, how sorry I am. Jesus. Lord, would you have mercy on our souls? Lord, would you have mercy where we have missed an opportunity, God, for that to be able to share in this good news of Jesus Christ? Lord, this morning I repent. Lord, I pray that may repentance be our portion, God. Even as we draw ourselves to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, may you set a fire, God, Father, in our hearts. God, Father, to be zealous for the things that concern you. Yes, Lord, to take on board, God, Father, the divine strategies that you will give, Lord. Father, to be able to enter in every sphere of influence, God. And Father, to see about transformation, Lord Jesus. So that eternity, God, Father, may be found. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.